This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't think anybody needs any explanation as to what that verse really means. It just simply says it the way it is. Steve Covey wrote a book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and he starts off the book with talking about private victory, and then he goes into public victory, and then he moves into sharpening the saw. And so when he's making reference to sharpening the saw, he simply says that, and I'm a woodworker, and so you can't just simply get yourself a brand new sharp blade and say, that's just the way it's going to be now until I quit doing woodworking. I need to take that saw back out again, that blade back out again, and go get it resharpened, then put it back in there again. Then I need to take it out again later on, get it sharpened, and put it back in again. And so that's how I look at this event here this afternoon, that I think I'm speaking to men that all of you would qualify to speak on this subject. But I'm looking at it from the perspective of sharpening the saw. And I'd simply like to, I've got nothing profound and a new wow factor this afternoon, but I'd just simply like to energize each one of us to the aspect of unity. We're talking about vision, strategy, structure, unified. Okay? And we're fully aware that many times when an organization falls apart and disintegrates, you can take it back to what happens within the boardroom, so to speak, with the board members, and they have lost a unity within their team. And so we're going to focus more on within the board level. And you say, well, I was hoping we would talk about the bigger picture. Well, I come along and say, if you can keep that board level unified and working towards the same goal, that just automatically starts spinning out to your people. It can take time. It's like planting a seed. That growth needs to take time, but that's in essence what takes place. So I'm hoping to be able to close this in time that we can have some open discussion. So just keep that in mind as we go through this topic here. As we talk about vision, I would like you to envision the largest hospital that you have ever been in or seen, and envision everything from the gentleman or the person that's inside with the mop and slowly mopping the floors to the surgeon that is doing some extremely challenging surgery. And then I'd like you to just process that for a little bit. Now I'd like you to step back, and I'd like to have you envision this piece of property that you're viewing to just a bare open field. Might be a hilly piece of field, might be a farmer that's moving back and forth across there with his tractor and plow and combine, and then from there, now you envision hallways and windows and doors and operating rooms and a chaplain and all these different things within this, and you just step back and you say, how did this happen? And we don't believe in evolution. It didn't just happen with a great big bang, and here it is. So just process sometimes. I love doing that when I see something to that magnitude or just simply an intriguing piece of equipment, massive piece of equipment. I just like to sit back and say, how did that all come into reality? So we're going to walk through these steps here, and we want to talk about vision, strategy, and structure. And this is in the proper order as well. You can't just simply turn these things around. You take them through in this order. So I'd like just simply, I'm just going to keep it very simple here. Could you put down here at vision? What is it? What is your vision? So I'm going to keep it very basic. We're just going to start off with something very basic. But I'd like you to envision, imagine with me a picture and just simply put it in your mind of eight people that are coming around, coming together, and they're enjoying each other's presence, and they're relaxed, and they're walking away from that event feeling blessed. So you've got eight people that just simply come around and they're enjoying each other's presence, they're relaxed, and they leave blessed. And so I have a vision of an experience like that. That's what my vision is. And so I have sat down in that and I've pondered on that for a period of time, but I'm going to need to build a team to bring that together. Okay, I can't just simply do that on my own, and so I meet with individuals just in talking and visiting with them, and I say, I've got a vision of eight people coming together and just simply enjoying each other's presence, and they're in a relaxed environment, and they just get up afterwards, and they've just been blessed to be together. And that's a vision I've got. I'd like to create an environment like that. And this individual comes along and says, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And so I'm with you, with your board, with your vision. I'd like to come on your team. And so you start building a team. And this is where I'm going to come along and share with you that you got to be careful how big you make that team. And so I will share with you that your team should, and can I use the word never? I'm going to be careful how I use that word. But from my perspective, your team should never be bigger than 7 to 9 people. Okay, now if you come along and say, well, my board is, or our board is 11 people, I'm not going to discredit you for that. Or if it's 12 people, but I'm just going to share with you that once your team starts getting too big, it becomes difficult to manage it. So be careful with that. I just use that figure of 7 to 9, but you might come along and say, well, we have a figure of around 10 or 12 or something like that. When you start getting up to the 15 and 20, you're going to have a hard time keeping unity within that group. So as you're working through this and you look at, some of you might be starting from scratch, some of you might have been in operation for 20 years, and you just simply ponder that fact. And I'm not asking you to disrupt anything or anything, but just keep that in mind, that if you get your group too big, you're going to have a hard time keeping everything pulling together. And I think every one of you are aware of how that works. When you sit down with a smaller group, say in your living room on a Sunday afternoon, it's easy to get the ideas flowing and talking until you walk into a room of 20 people. Well, now that's a different story. So vision, in order to keep unity, you keep your group to a proper size. And you pull men in that you know that are men of integrity and men of humility. Individuals of integrity, individuals of humility that are going to be able to work together. You need to have a synergy there where these are men that are women that are qualified to assist you with your vision. You constantly keep talking about your vision. We're talking about keeping unity, all right? We're talking about sharpening that saw. So you got to keep talking about your vision. You can say, well, we put our vision in place 20 years ago, and we don't talk about it anymore. No, you got to keep talking about it. And I'm simply going to encourage you to do it at least once a year. And you say, well, no, we're still on the same team. Are we still unified here? We're still moving forward. No, just get it out and just methodically go through it word by word and say, is this still where we're at? And if you're going to come along and say, I don't really think that's that important, I'd like you just to read the book. I think it's called Mission Adrift. I don't know if any of you have ever read that book, but if you haven't, it's a really good read. Mission Adrift. So I'm just simply going to give you an illustration here. And I didn't do, it's definitely here in the United States. YMCA. When I mention YMCA, what's the first thing that crosses your mind? It's opening it here.
A song.
A song?
Gymnasium.
A gymnasium. Exactly right. You are right bang on. It's a gymnasium. What does YMCA stand for?
Young Men's Christian Association.
So whenever I start feeling like I need a boost of energy and I just like to have somebody encourage me in the Word of God, I go to YMCA. No. No. It's now called, in Canada anyway, I think it's in the U.S. as well, it's called the Y. They took everything else out and it's just the Y now because they didn't want the word Christian in there. And we can talk about that for a while, but you go back and you do this history on YMCA, and it was a young man in Chicago that had a burden for young teenagers on the streets of Chicago, and he just simply wanted to reach out to them and minister to them. So he started up this little chapel there in Chicago, brought them in the evenings, and he ministered to them through the word, and he called it Young Men's Christian Association. Today, you walk into a YMCA facility, and I would venture to say if you walked in there with your Bible, they would look at you and say, "What in the world are you doing here?" So you sit back and you say, "How did that happen? Was that a unified decision to say, you know what, we're changing our vision?" I don't know. I didn't do the research, but it goes to show that if you don't keep going back to your vision, that all at once you can start moving down a path that you're not ready to go down. I'm just going to inject here with Jungle Breeze Youth Ministries. We have a boys' ranch, 500-acre parcel of land in Guatemala, that we started with the vision of assisting boys that were coming through the school, which in El Chal there's a school there with about 230 students, and they go through up to grade 9. Then they were leaving, and Stephen Gingrich, who was the principal of the school there, had a burden for these young fellows that were coming through there under a very structured program in an unsafe environment, got through to grade 9, and then they just simply threw it all out and went out and just lived their lives. And he says, "I'd like to have a ranch where we could send these boys to, and they could learn how to do just the basic aspects of living, learn how to do woodworking, learn how to raise farming and mechanics and whatever all goes with it. And learn how to make a living rather than getting involved in drugs and trying to escape to the U.S. and all that kind of thing." So that's what we put in place. We had this vision. Within 6 months, we got a phone call from an individual from Belize. And so we have a young man in our congregation that he's a drug addict. He's a Christian, and he wants victory. But he's going to have to get away from his friends in order to be able to find full victory. And so would you be able to open up your door for this individual? Well, we're Christians, and we're a brotherhood, and we want to help each other out. And so, you know, yeah, maybe God is just asking us to go down. Yeah, why don't we give that? And so we talked about it, and yeah, let's allow him to come in. But we failed to go back to our vision and say, what was this all about? We brought him in, and nobody there, none of us, knew how to work with drug addicts. And it just bogged us down, and we were just wallowing in the overwhelming aspect of this whole thing, till the point we had to say, you know, we're going to have to ask him to leave because we're not doing him any good, and we're not doing ourselves any good. We're not doing our vision any good. And that was that's a place where we failed to go back to our vision and say, we got to hold on to that. We need to stay unified. We got to work together. That's just a small little illustration of how you can soon get off track. So keep going back to your vision and have it written in place. And make sure you keep talking about it and keep talking about it. Never come to the point where you say, we've talked about this thing too much. Make sure that it's inbred into each one of us. What is our vision? And that's what keeps you going through difficult times, because you're going to face difficult times, and you need that vision to move through. All right, so then we have strategy. The next one then is strategy. And so that one is, how do we do it? No, I wrote that down. What do we need? The next one is, how do we do it? What do we need? So I'm going to go back to this illustration that I have here of these eight people that are coming together, and they're enjoying each other's fellowship. There's a relaxed environment, and they're walking away blessed. So we'd have down here, what do we need? That's the strategy. And so I think of eight people that are sitting on an iceberg out in the middle of the ocean. There is a tremendously strong storm coming through there, and this iceberg is just going up and down. And there's a few lawn chairs that are sitting out there, and they're all sitting around there in a circle, and they've all got a can of Coke in their hands. And that's my picture. That's my strategy, how I would create this kind of environment. And you're going to kick me off the board. You say, Kevin, you obviously didn't get my vision. You didn't get the picture. Because that is not what I just got done when I gave you that picture, that vision. Your strategy is way out to lunch. Like, that just will not work. And so what you do is you sit around the boardroom table, and a strategy is simply a careful plan to achieve the vision and bring it into reality. It says usually over a long period of time. A careful plan to achieve the vision and bring it into reality. Usually over a long period of time. So what do we need? So we start off with the aspect of we need to pray. We need to seek God's blessing. Ensure that we have God's blessing on the work that we're putting together. We pray about it. And we share and we talk. Okay? So that aspect is so important. When I put down here, there's a difference between talking and there's a difference between sharing. When people get the vision, then there's a passion that comes through with that. And that is more than just talking, it is actually sharing. And people can actually, they just right from their heart, they're revealing what their vision really is and how they think that this thing could be pulled together. And so it comes right from their heart. And then there's an aspect here that I'm going to share with you that is so extremely important, and it's one that I struggle with, is that then we need to listen. And here I'm just going to inject if there's any, and I'm sure there is in this size of a group of people, board chairman, we have an extremely important role to play in this aspect, is to make sure that you create an environment where you can have people sharing and where you have people that are listening, and you as a chairman are also listening. And I'm just going to make note here of Brother Gary Miller is with us this afternoon. He used to be chairman of Faith Builders, and I had the privilege of sitting in his board meetings at times. And that's just another thing I'm going to, if you ever have an invitation to sit in on board meetings, which I sometimes think should be a little bit more open amongst us as missions. We have nothing private, really, are we? We're a brotherhood. We're working together. So if you ever have the invitation that, hey, we're holding a board meeting and you're welcome to sit in, take that opportunity just to sit in. You're a silent observer. But you can learn so much from just sitting there. You have nothing to do with it. And just observe how they handle things. And all when you pick something up and say, hey, I want to use that in our board meetings. And so that's so effective. But Gary has a real talent in being able to work with people, a real gift of working with people and getting them to share and listen. And I've been so blessed with it. I sit in those board meetings and observe that. And I had to come along and say, am I creating the same environment? Because we as chairmen are the ones that are creating the tenor of the meeting. There's a lot of responsibilities. Don't look at your chairman role as just, well, I'm the chairman, and we just kind of go in there, and no, we have a huge responsibility to play in that. So we share and we listen, and we draw. And maybe that's the same thing as sharing, but when people are talking and they're listening, you've got to draw because you've got to bring a strategy in place. And then as a share, we understand and we document. I think it's so important to come along and start documenting what this strategy is going to look like, and especially when you're starting off something new. But again, I come back to saying the chairman's role is so extremely important. But you come along and you pull this whole thing together, and we talk. So we're unified. And we have this vision. So we want a warm environment. So it's got to be the proper temperature in this room. That's important. We come along and Someone's going to bring up the aspect that we want soft music. Well, we all know that as soon as you bring that up, for this environment, for these people, eight people to get together and have a nice environment, well, as soon as you bring up the aspect of we want soft music, well, that can be a controversy right there. Okay? Do we or don't we? And if we do, what kind of music? And so these are just the things that happen in board meetings. I'm just making it practical right now. So you bring that one up, and we all know that right within this group here, if we just simply brought that to the table, we'd have quite a bit of time to work that one through. And we'd have to decide whether or not we're going to have it in there or we're not going to have it. All right, and so we work through that. We simply talk, well, someone brings up the aspect that we'd like to have a smell of coffee in the air. Well, there's some people that just hate coffee. And other people, oh, no, you got to have that. So that's another one that you've got to work through. See, we have a vision, all right? We threw the one out about being out there on that iceberg and with these lawn chairs out there and a can of Coke. That one's just gone. Everybody's agreed. We're not talking about it. But this one here now we're starting to get, we're on the kind of same page, but we got to become unified. Got to keep pulling this thing together. And you can talk about comfortable chairs. You have the good food. You have the beautiful scenery. You bring that all together and you just keep talking about the strategy. That is the strategy of it, aspect of it. It's what do we need? And I'm just going to share with you that this is the hard work. This is where there's a lot of work has to go into this one. If you have an organization that is already going, well, then you look simply at fine-tuning it. But if you're starting something from scratch, this is the hard work where you got to put a lot of planning and talking into it. And you walk into, I'm just simply going to use Faith Builders as an illustration. You walk into Faith Builders today, and you might say, well, this is just the way it's always been. Well, no, I still remember going there with our youth group, I think probably 15, 20 years ago, and there'd be people that would have came along and said, this is a great place to run a bulldozer through. There was just, the building was in a dire state of despair. And actually, I remember one man that said that was his thought when he first saw it, was just light a match and let this thing go. You go there now, and it's a wow building. It's just, and the whole thing, it just what you see happening there is, it is heartwarming when you see what's going on there. But you got to go back all the way and say, all right, and you walk that thing through, and they just talked strategy and strategy and strategy, and that's the hard work where, you know, you can walk into this room and you could talk to Merle Hearn, and he says, you know, 10 years ago, this is how it looked, but today it looks like this. That is strategy. They come along and they try to figure out, like, how do we want to lay this thing out all out? And you start looking long-term. And then when it's all done, you have to be unified. Because we all know that once you start getting into renovations and that kind of thing, and it can all start falling apart. Along with that strategy, you also have to talk about, how are you going to have the people flowing through all that, and where do they fit into the picture? And so that is the hard work. After that, you have structure. And that one is the one, is how will we do it? It's what do you need? And so we've come along, we've said we need this furniture, we need this aroma of coffee, and we want it to be warm, and so you got to bring all this different equipment in. And so you're going to need furniture manufacturers, you need coffee makers, you need all this kind of thing. And that's the structure aspect of it, but then you need the people. And that is where the challenge comes, is how do you bring structure to this whole thing? And so I'm just going to simply share with you the way when you, and this is how it worked for Jungle Breeze. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a picture of Jungle Breeze Youth Ministries. We, as I shared, started up this boys ranch in Guatemala, and 500-acre parcel of land, and we got the thing started and got it rolling, and then MEM came along and they offered the El Chal work to us, which is about a 3-hour drive between the two places. And there's a school operating there with 230 students. and about 15 teachers. And there's a clinic there that has around 40 to 50 patients going through it. And there's a mission house there. And then about, I can't remember, 6 months later, they offered us the airplane, which is the aviation aspect of it. And this just started coming in on us. And how do you put this whole thing together? See, now that becomes the structure aspect of it. In a sense, the strategy has been there already. And, you know, our vision was to invest in the lives of people, assisting them to serve the Lord in their own communities. That was our vision. And we did that through, our strategy was through the Boys Ranch. But then we added the clinic and the school and the mission base and aviation to the whole thing. Always this thing just got, okay, how do you do this? How do you bring this all together? That's the structure part of it. How do you bring this all together? And so it was a new aspect for me, especially for in Guatemala. And so I'm just going to share with you some of the journey that I went through. This is in Guatemala. I'm from Canada. There's this great distance between us. How do you pull this together? And I had people coming along and say, Kevin, you never run mission like business. Okay? And so I had that fear that, well, you can't do that. And, well, I had started a business for myself and grew it to a number of people, and I had to learn a lot how that all works. But with time, I realized I have to have an organizational chart. I got to have an organizational chart and figure out how this whole thing's going to flow in order to create unity here. And so that's what I had done in the business side of it. I put an organizational chart in place. But then I was told that, well, you don't run business like mission, or you don't run mission like business, and so then you shouldn't bring an organizational chart into mission. Well, I had Stephen Brubaker came to Countryside School in Ontario one time, and he did a presentation, and he showed me the book, and I was going to bring it along this afternoon. I forgot to do it, but the book is called Doing Good Even Better. All right, and if you have never read that book and you're a part of a mission, then I would encourage you, highly encourage you to read that book. It's called Doing Good Even Better by Edgar Stoats or something.
Stays.
Okay, Edgar Stays. And in there, he promotes the organizational chart. And I'm just sitting back and, okay, that is so refreshing because, so you are allowed to put organizational charts into mission. And so I started introducing that. And we got together as a board and we laid out the organizational chart. And just simply said, if we want this organization to run properly, then we're going to be putting people in place in the proper order. I'm just going to pass out the organizational chart here that it's a very basic here. You can... In order to keep things unified, if I don't care if you have only five people in your team, I don't care if it's 20, what the numbers, I really don't care. You must have, in order to keep things unified, you must have structure. All right? So when I do org charts, I always like doing them, people call them upside down. But I come along and say, the person who is the leader needs to be at the bottom of the organizational chart because he's the one that carries the responsibility when the day is done. Now, this is mission, and so we're a team. This is not ownership as such. But at the same time, the board needs to carry the responsibility when something is going awry, so to speak, or when there's changes that have to be made. And so we have the Jungle Breeze board at the very bottom. And then... after that, we have the fuel director. I see there's not a line between there. There should be a line there. But then after that, you have the fuel director. And then from there, we have all the different mission posts. We have the ranch administrator. We have the school administrator, clinic, mission-based, aviation, and boys program. So those lines, those circles that we've got in there, they depict the method of communication. So the board is in direct contact with the fuel director on a regular basis, and I'm going to come along and say at least the chairman of the board must be in direct contact with the field director on a regular basis, and I'm going to venture to say do it at least once a week. In order to keep things unified, you need to be once a week. You need to be in contact with the field director. And the board's responsibilities is vision, Bible doctrine, policy, public relations, and fundraising. And you can come along and say, well, we're actually going to fine-tune that some more, but that's what we have in place here. You can come along and say, you know, we're going to add something to that, or we're going to subtract or whatever, but that you have to know what you're, in order to create unity within your board on the aspect of strategy, you have to know what your responsibilities are. Then from there, you take what you have done there and you pass that on to the field director, and in a sense, you tell him, now run with it. It's what you're doing. You're giving him that responsibility and then releasing him. And he says, well, Mr. Chairman or board, what should I be doing in the aspect of, we're thinking that like our school teachers are just getting weighted down too much and we should bring another school teacher in. Well, then the board says, okay, well, we'll be down there in about 3 months and we'll check into that and see whether you should or you shouldn't. No, the board says, do you know what our vision is? Do you know what our policy is? We're releasing you. And you simply work that thing out with your administrators. And so then I have the we have the circle around. The field director then relates with the administrators, all the administrators, and they should be meeting at least once a month as a team. And they should be talking about long, short-term goals. They should be talking about budget. They should be talking about staffing and management. That's their responsibility. And then after that, I have just those other circles. The ranch administrator then works with his team. The school administrator works with their team, and so on and so forth. You take that across. And that's how you keep unity within your team. But it all has to start off with the board. So as I used to share, you keep looking at this thing and fine-tuning it. I could take you back to when we first started this thing, our initial organizational chart, and then we just continue to move along and keep fine-tuning it. An organizational chart, again, should be something that you can continue to look at on a regular basis and say, you know what, we've got to take a look at this. Are there some improvements that should be made? Should we be changing some things up? But for the most part, the field director can come back and ask questions, but the board passes that vision, strategy, and structure to the field director, and then they move on with it. And I'm just going to share with you, that takes a huge load off of the board when you can work with a structure like this. I'm going to open it up for discussion here. How do you create unity in vision, strategy, and structure?
You said vision regularly, and I think you said at least once a year. Mm-hmm. You're saying this regularly. Are you saying once a year again? Or?
Yeah, I would say get the organizational chart should be looked at least every year as well. I'm going to go so far to say that the moment you bring another staff on board, they must be on the organizational chart. And right now we don't have this organizational chart out in the field where everybody can see it. In our business, we have the organizational chart out where people can see it. There is a sense of ownership that happens when I'm the new player on the field, and I come along and I look at this chart and however many people are on it, and I can find my name, and I'm involved. And so keep your organizational charts up to speed. It's work, it's effort, but it's worth it. Go ahead.
Should there be a, you don't like job descriptions, do you? But should there be call it a description of that title so people know what is expected of them?
Or yes.
Relationship is always better. But
yeah. So were you in our meeting yesterday? Okay. Yesterday I was bold enough to share to the team there that I will put way more emphasis on title than I do on job descriptions. If you have job descriptions, I am okay with that. We have job descriptions for some of the people at Jungle Breezes, not for all of them, but for us as board members, we have job descriptions. In our workforce, we have over 200 employees, and not one of us have a job description. And I just simply come along, if you have an organizational chart and everybody has a title, to me, titles are more important than job descriptions. So, but yes, make sure your people have titles. And if you have job descriptions, I am not standing in your way at all. I just find that job descriptions change. Seems you can have them done one day, and then they change the next. And then you're back at that thing again. But make sure they have titles. And there's just something about your people when you give them titles. it helps to bring unity to the whole thing. Anything else?
Maybe give some wisdom on should a local church body have a mission statement? We're part of a church where they're saying, oh, well, the New Testament is our statement. I don't know how to, you know, is that so broad or how do you work with that?
What's your advice on that? That's a good question.
Everything needs a vision. Every single individual needs a vision. Every corporate body needs a vision. If you don't have a vision, why do you bother? You have to have a purpose. The vision gives you a purpose.
Anybody else want to share?
I'm not on that subject as much, but back to job descriptions. In our congregation of 200, if we go to the trouble of writing down what's the breadth for the food committee, trustees, and so on, and hand that out as the new ones are appointed or elected, they like that. This gives them the field to work in. And so as a church leader, I recommend that somebody, one of the deacons, somebody that's administratively gifted, would spend a little time so that it saves on the wear and tear of the people that are working.
And so I would agree with that. We do the same thing in our church. We have a description for what, like if you come on the food committee, you'll have a binder that this stuff is written out in there. But it's not that that individual gets a job description as such. But yes, there's a to-do list there. Those kind of things, that's what I would call policies, and this is how we function. So again, you have to do what, I'm not against job descriptions, but I'm more of the type, if you put a system like this in place, that you had this organizational chart, see the board works directly with the field director, and we share with the field director what our expectations are. The field director speaks back to the board and says, this is where we're struggling because we don't know exactly what, and you can have that communication right there. And then from there, the field director works with his six people, and they're in dialogue, and they're moving this thing forward. And then the administrators work with their team, and the thing keeps on building. And so, go ahead.
What type of, if any, of communication structure would you recommend or not recommend between board and your individual administrative team?
What kind of communication between the board and the administrators?
Right, like your ranch administrator,
and so on. You're the, from my perspective, and I want people to speak in here, but the board is the cheerleader, the support person, comes along and says, we're behind you. And when he starts asking, say, we're wondering if we should be adding, then you stop and you say, okay, and you listen to him, and you let him speak into the whole thing. But then when you're all said and done, you say, yeah, I'd like to hear that from the administrative team. When they get all together, then the minutes are going to come to the board and you find out what they were talking about. But at that level is where they make those decisions. And the board doesn't come along and say yes and no to that until it goes through the proper channels. So he has an idea. The ranch administrator has an idea, brings it to the administrative team meeting, and they talk about the whole thing and say, yeah, we're in support of that, but now we take it to the board for approval. So the board chairman or even a board member, when they're on the field, they're not making decisions anymore. They're not coming along saying, well, we really feel that you should be adding this or you should be doing this or you should subtract this or this is how it should be. You step back and you observe. You can make some counsel, but you got to be very, very careful with your counsel because even your counsel can be then worded as, well, he said, and that's happened to me already. No, I just gave some advice. No. I heard you saying that that's what we should do. All right, then I got to really be careful with what I share because I can tear that whole unity apart when I start acting like that, operating like that.
Because an individual board member is not the board.
That's correct. Exactly. Yes. Write that one down. Go ahead.
You have any thoughts on kind of along with what we're talking about here too, like closing that or the whole relationship part of board down to the staff? Like you have communication, there's a communication from the board and on down through, but not necessarily, like, how do you keep the unity of the whole organization?
Mm-hmm.
Organizations are different, and I work in an organization where we have the opportunity for the staff, for the board meetings right there at the, where there's interaction with the staff too, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a big difference, that it doesn't just feel like we're down here doing the work mm-hmm. and they're up here making all the decisions, but how do you close that? That sort of will bring it all together in a good way.
So everybody's got the same vision.
Yeah.
Any counsel on that?
One thing we want to remember is that the board isn't going to make a lot of the day-to-day decisions. That is on the administrative and staff levels. So the board's field is going to be in the future, not so much in the present, but more in the future and in the policy and that kind of thing. And so I hope that that kind of concept can help staff to feel that they belong and that they have a sphere in practical decision making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're carrying out.
Yeah. That's right.
Grand vision.
Yeah. So I'm just going to share with you, with Jungle Breezes, when we brought all these people together, I'm going to run out of time here shortly, but one of the things, and Stephen wouldn't regret at all if I shared this, but Stephen just asked, when we took over the school, Stephen came to me and says, Kevin, just walk through the school for half a day and just give me your perspective on what's going on. Well, I walked through there and caught on that the whole school was hinging on Stephen. It was Stephen this, it was Stephen that. He was on the phone all day. He had people coming to him. And so at the end of the day, I said, Stephen, you need to put together a leadership team. And he said, well, how do I do that? And so we structured a leadership team. And we put an organizational chart in place, and we structured the whole thing, and we brought all these people onto an organizational chart. But then what I found is that I could go talk to somebody and say, what's the vision? They said, I don't know what the vision is. I don't know what the vision is. And do we have a vision around here? Well, then that call lays back on my shoulders to say, how do I get that vision to our people? I can't use it to our people. And so it comes back to the board. Does the board know what the vision is? And then does the field director know what the vision is? And then is the field director instilling that into the administrators? And then is the administrator instilling that into their team? So it comes back right again. Is the board unified? And are they spilling that out and moving it forward? And so if the board is walking around and talking to people and saying, do you know what the vision is for this organization? No, I haven't got a clue what it is. Then the board needs to look in the mirror and say, I think we better start doing some work here and figure out how we can get this thing, because that's the only way you're going to keep unity, is by everybody having the same vision. That, do you have any comments more on that, what your question was?
Not necessarily. I just feel like the one thing that's helped me is whenever knowing that the board is there and seeing what's mm-hmm. happening and that whole relationship, even though they're making the decisions at a bigger level, seeing their interest right there on the field, means a lot.
Exactly. And that's just another one I'm going to inject. If you want to keep unity, you've got to see people's faces, you've got to talk with them, you've got to connect with them. Go ahead.
What about a field director being on the board? What about a field director being on the board?
Yeah, good question. I'm just going to share how we do it. We have the field director sit in our board meetings twice a year. And so then that's where he speaks into whatever he needs to speak into. And we speak into his life whatever way we, but there, you, at least twice a year we have them all. We want everybody in the same room and dialoguing so that there's travel involved because of the distance, but that to me is important.
The question was, what if he's a part of the board?
In Canada he's not allowed to be a part of the board. I don't know how it is in the U.S., but no, he cannot be a part of the board. Go ahead.
So, I've heard the term administrative board versus policymaking board. Is there any? What I hear you saying is policymaking board is what should be is there any room for administrative board, or is that just, is there any time there should be administrative boards?
That the administrator makes the policies? Or?
No, the term is kind of fresh in my mind, so I don't know exactly what it means by it, but administrative board or a policymaking board, maybe it's just a,
do I understand you saying that the board would be more to fill an administrative role?
Yeah.
Is there ever time for a board to fill an administrative role? Or should we always have a distant policy?
Yeah. So if you have a, if you're just starting something up, I always give, like for Jungle Breezes, the first 3 years, I said, just give us a break. We're in startup. Please give us a break. We're in startup. And then now I come along and tell the board, we can't say that anymore. We've had 3 years under our belt. There's no startup anymore. We're past that. So now, come on now, shape up and let's pull our socks up and let's bring some structure to this whole thing. So I always give space for a startup. But if there's an organization that's running for 10 years and they're doing this slipshod up and down yo-yo type of thing, I say just hold a one-week meeting and wrestle this thing down. I give all kinds of room for startup. I'll be honest with you. I do. I'm very, very gracious when it's startup. I'm not sure if that helps you out or not, but yeah. I am at 0 minutes. Thank you. God bless you. And let's strive for unity. But in unity, we need to have vision, strategy, and structure.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.